Simon Bin, and he's to speak to us, as you can see, on the days are quickly flying. And as an introduction, he's asked that we take a reading from the prophecy through Daniel, and it's Daniel chapter 7, and we're going to read the first 14 verses. Daniel chapter 7 and the first 14 verses. In the first year of Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream, and visions passed through his mind as he was lying in bed. He wrote down the substance of his dream. Daniel said, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me were the four winds of heaven churning up the great sea. Four great beasts, each different from the others, came up out of the sea. The first was like a lion, and it had the wings of an eagle. I watched until its wings were torn off, and it was lifted up from the ground, so that it stood on 2 feet like a human being, and the mind of a human was given to it. And there before me was a second beast, which looked like a bear. It was raised up on one of its sides, and it had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. It was told, 'Get up and eat your fill of flesh.' After that I looked, and there before me was another beast, one that looked like a leopard, and on its back it had 4 wings like those of a bird. This beast had 4 heads, and it was given authority to rule. After that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a 4th beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns. While I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one, which came up among them, and 3 of the 1st horns were uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a human being, and a mouth that spoke boastfully. As I looked, thrones were set in place. The Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and his wheels were ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated. The books were opened. Then I continued to watch because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. The other beasts had been stripped of their authority, but were allowed to live for a period of time. In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." With that introduction, I'll ask Simon to come and speak to us on "The Days Are Quickly Flying."
Well, good evening, everyone. I must, at the outset, state a couple of things as we were reading through that introductory reading. One, this is not a Bible class. And two, we're not politically motivated as Christadelphians in any way. I did once recently give this talk elsewhere, and a visitor came up to me and thought I was a right-wing Brexiteer. So we are not. And I hope it doesn't come across to you in that way. But in regards to our thoughts this evening, what I'm hoping that we can establish is to use prophecy, as we've read some of these things for our introduction, and the terminology and the imagery of these things to look forward to those things that we're expecting to come upon the earth. So if we start with our introductory reading, in regards to Daniel. Daniel's name means God is my judge, and he lived 620 BC to 538 BC, and he was taken into captivity into Babylon around the age of 15 years old. And to him, all of this period of time, these images which represented to him, and we can look back in history and see that they were dominions and powers that ruled over the earth. There was, before these images given to Daniel, a dream by his king's predecessor, Nebuchadnezzar. Something that we're quite familiar of, aren't we? This image that Nebuchadnezzar dreamt, and the different sections of the image represented different empires. The gold representing the Babylonian Empire, then the silver of the Medo-Persians, the brass and belly and thighs of the Grecian Empire, the legs of iron of Rome, and then the feet, partly of iron and partly of clay. And the final part of this dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had was that the image was struck upon the feet, and that there would be a final superpower. This power, there would be no end, and it would consume all that had gone before and would last forever. And it is this power that we are interested in this evening. But for us to get there, we need to take a look at some of the imagery that we've just read about. And we've just read, in regards to Daniel chapter 7, about these four beasts, which represent the same four empires as we've seen in Nebuchadnezzar's image: the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, and the Roman Empire. And each element of description, we find there were parts that described that particular empire. And I'll give you for an example in a few seconds. But to Daniel, of course, this was quite a scary image. We've read up to verse 14, but it says in verse 15, and I'm reading from the Authorized Version, "I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, in the midst of my body, and in the visions of my head troubled me." So he was troubled to his stomach. What was this that he was seeing? And all of these things were ahead of him. They were before him. And verse 16, "I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this." So remarkably, Daniel had access to an angel, it would seem, because that's what it says there, that he went to one that stood by him, and so he told me and made me know the interpretation of all things. So the angel of God explained the images that he'd seen, and it tells us at the start of that Daniel wrote it all down, and therefore we've got it now. But each of these empires, the Medo-Persian Empire, for instance, the beast that's represented there describes the empire itself. That one of the partners, Medes and Persians in this regard, one was stronger than the other. So we see that one shoulder was lifted up over the other. The Grecian Empire, for instance, Alexander the Great, or perhaps he called himself great, I'm not sure, Alexander and his empire were, well, let me ask you, what strikes you about a leopard?
Fast.
Okay. That's the correct answer that I was looking for. I once gave this and a brother came up to me and said, do you know the leopard's one of the slowest running animals in the cat family? And I was bowled over to this because here am I on the platform saying that one of the features of Alexander the Great's empire was their speed. And that's the truth. But according to Wikipedia, the leopard still runs at 88 kilometres an hour, which I think is fairly fast. And he had four generals. And on his deathbed, Alexander the Great's deathbed, they asked him, who was going to be your leader when you die? And he said, let the strongest be my leader. But these four generals weren't particularly interested in fighting each other to discover who was the strongest. So they split the kingdom up into four. So we've got these four elements to the beast. So this imagery is what we're hoping to take forward as we go through our talk. Now hopefully somebody in the audience might recognise where this is. Particularly if you're of a Persian background. And if I said that was Susa, you probably wouldn't be any better off. Because we would understand that as Shushan. I think it's in chapter 8 and verse 2, where it says, and I saw in a vision, this is Daniel, and it came to pass when I saw that I was at Shushan, the palace. And this is Shushan, or modern day Susa. And these are some ruins that have been discovered in that place. There is somebody else who lived in this same place. Can anyone think of who that was? It was Queen Esther, also lived here. And so Queen Esther and Daniel, I believe that this was the king's winter residence, and Daniel spent an awful lot of his time here. And in fact, just outside the city, he is buried. And there is a memorial with his name upon it. So this is reasonably modern day pictures of Susa. We can tell it's modern because the telegraph poles are in there. And there is a number of archaeological finds in this place. Now I can't read that. It looks like a lot of pi symbols to me. But I'm told and well informed that both King Belteshazzar and the name of Daniel appears on this tablet. So we know that they were both here in this place. And there were also a number of other items which are discovered in the ruins of this place. Now remember the imagery for the Babylonian Empire. It was a lion, and the lion had wings, and a man's heart was given to that beast. And here in this sphinx it's given a man's head. And another one, this particular one, has been given a goat's face. But these have been discovered all here at Susa. This is all of 4 inches tall. and carved into stone, which I believe was on the floor. But with all those things in mind, and those images of the various empires, and how they described them, if we were to, for illustration purposes, going to describe, let's say, Great Britain, for instance, we might use certain images of our own, wouldn't we? Perhaps that would be a lion. Maybe it would be a bulldog. Maybe a mixture of a number of things. But we would soon be able to build up a picture that would describe Great Britain, just in the way that these empires were done. So with those things in mind, turn with me to the book of Revelation and chapter 12. Now we know that the book of Revelation is full of various signs and symbols. And it was given to John in a vision. So it's the same as it was given to Daniel, the prophet. And John had to describe for us the things that he was seeing. So Revelation chapter 16, and it would help if I got to the right chapter. Chapter 16 and verse 12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, and the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I, John, saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to battle of the great day of God Almighty. So, remember we're using the same imagery as we used in the prophet Daniel to understand the things of the future. So when we come across beasts and dragons, it's just a representation of a nation or a group of people. Okay, it's not anything frightening or particularly scary. So we need to try and understand the language in simple terms as best as we can, because we're interested in these frog-like spirits and this time of clay when the stone hit the image, remember, and all of the image collapsed. Emmanuel Macron, the French leader, when he came to power, and he came to power back in 2000, we've got a slide with it, 2017 I think it was, and he came to power on the back of his political spin and rhetoric was human rights. And the very first challenge that he faced when he was in government was to water cannon any protesters that were on the streets. And this headline I find particularly interesting. French beating scandal reveals Macron's clay feet. Now I've just picked that out because it just absolutely stood out to me. And we'll come back to him. But we have, importantly, these details, or this particular slide, which is just a screenshot of, in regard to, and my eyes aren't great, the resolutions that United Nations have raised against Israel for breaches of human rights. And we'll be able to link all these things together as we go through. In 2018, there were 21 resolutions, 21 for Israel, and 6 for all of the rest of the countries in the world. I believe in 2016, there were 106 resolutions against Israel, and 1 for all of the other countries in the rest of the world, for their breach of human rights. In 2018, Israel became the most condemned nation in the United Nations. Again, we have the 21 out of the 27 resolutions condemning Israel's violating of basic human rights of the politicians. Okay. In the prophet Ezekiel, we have this said: Be thou prepared, and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited, in the latter years thou shalt come unto the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. You see, it's God's policy to bring the Jews back to Israel, and they are repopulating the mountains of Israel. I believe that there's something like 6 million Jews now living upon the mountains of Israel that previously had no one on it. I believe that the Palestinians, because it's termed the West Bank, there were nobody living upon these mountains. Israel have built settlement after settlement after settlement to populate these people coming back to the land. But this is God's policy. God said, I will do this. I will bring them back, and they will live upon the mountains of Israel. This is just one passage. We could turn to many that describe this policy of God. So when Israel are being condemned by the United Nations, it is God's policy, and Israel, probably in ignorance, are seeing it through. Back to our French connection. Emmanuel Macron, self-imposed European leader, and I say that because he does speak out and represent an awful lot of Europe. Perhaps 5 years ago, we might have said that perhaps the German Chancellor, Merkel, would have been more of a spokesperson for a European leader. But it seems to have changed. And Emmanuel Macron now, who came to power on the 7th of May, 2017, elected president with 66.1% of the vote, compared to Marine Le Pen's 33.9%. His campaign and his rhetoric and his policies and his spin was all about human rights. And he wants a European army. It's not my headlines. These are just snapshots off websites. He wants a European army. Well, what does he want a European army for? Isn't the NATO? Isn't that already in existence? Well, it seems that America aren't very keen on NATO, as they're putting up most of the money. Britain is trying to come out of Europe, when and if that ever happens. And it would seem to me that whether Brexit is a thing or it isn't, I think what comes with it will become important. Because Macron, in a recent statement, has said we need to learn lessons from Brexit. What he means is we need to tighten up the system so that all those nations that are involved, and this will include Norway, will have to be in the euro, their monetary union. And they will all have to be part of this European army, which is very interesting. Because Britain has stated we will not have anything to do with it. Some more imageries. Imageries? Images. You'll notice one of them is back to front. My apologies. But the image is the same. And the image that we see here is of a woman riding a beast. And these images describe Europe, or Europa, as we know it to be. And whether they've done this on purpose or without knowledge, I'm not sure. It has to be with knowledge, because it describes the area of Europe. But here we have these images upon the Queen, outside their parliament buildings, the woman riding upon a beast, all of which describes to us and comes out of our book of Revelation. Now, going back to the image of the image being struck on the feet partly clay and partly iron, representing perhaps some strong nations and some weak nations, perhaps representing that the iron, which was in the legs, also has an influence in the feet. And the image that we can read of in Genesis chapter 11. Now, if you'll come with me to that, we need to go backwards to come forwards, really. So this is at a time when man wanted to build a tower. And this tower, they wanted to reach into the heavens. Genesis chapter 11 and verse 3. And they said one to another, "Go to, let us make brick and burn it thoroughly." And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto the heaven. And let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men built. Verse 6, "And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, therefore confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." And verse 8, "The Lord scattered them, and this tower that they built was destroyed." And this is an artist's impression of a said tower, of which there are a number of artists' impressions in regard to that tower. Perhaps this one's a little sharper for us to look at. And we see how the European Parliament was designed and built based upon the imagery of this tower, which represented the will of man against the purpose of God. And when we see the will of man against the purpose of God, there is always only one outcome. And it usually doesn't bode well for the will of man. And we see on this slide here, Susa, which is over here, Babylon and Babel. And here is the archaeological site of that tower, which is really interesting. To know that all the way back in Genesis, these people, the will of the people, against the purpose of God, wanted to build this thing. And so, to our French connection again. We have described in Revelation these three frog-like spirits that have this connection to France. These are early French flags, which show three frogs on each of them. Don't worry about the writing. That was never important. But what is really important was the things that came out of the French Revolution. The will of man over the authority of the day. And those elements that came out of the French Revolution were written into the French Constitution. I couldn't think of the word constitution then. Were written into the French Constitution. And this Declaration of Human Rights was 70 years old last year. Now that might, with some of you, ring some bells. That in, and it's on here somewhere, 1958, 48 even, there, the same year as the restoration of the land of Israel, or Israel being given back their land, this Universal Declaration of Human Rights was written. What is more interesting is who wrote it. René Cassin, a French jurist. So he's a French Jew who wrote this. And all of the elements that came out of the French Revolution, equality, fraternity, liberality, democracy, all of those things were written into this Bill of Human Rights. And this Bill of Human Rights has been written into every constitution of every country around the world. Now, I'm not condemning this thing. There's an awful lot of good that's in this bill, in protecting human rights and human lives more particularly. But come back to Revelation and chapter 12. Sorry, it was 16, wasn't it? Verse 12. Sorry, Revelation 16. And verse 13 there. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the whole earth and the whole world. Why? To gather them to battle of the great day of God Almighty. So we can put together the jigsaw puzzles now, can't we? That these frog-like French spirits, these things that came out of the French Revolution, I suggest, that have gone into all of the world and all of the world's constitutions are the very thing that it says here will bring the world to gather them to battle for the great day of God Almighty. So it will be these frog-like spirits that will gather them. The United Nations have condemned Israel for their violations of the human rights. Macron wants a European army. Why does he want that? Well, they're toothless, aren't they? The United Nations. They are toothless. They send peacekeeping forces in, but they can't impress upon anybody, and particularly the most condemned country of all, Israel, for them to do as they're told. Remember that this was God's policy to bring and fill the mountains of Israel with his people. And we've got man and these human rights, and I'm not condemning human rights at all. I'm saying this is what the Bible says here in Revelation, that this is what's going to draw the nations together to battle. Suggesting to me that these beasts, and Europe particularly, confederate with others, will be drawn to battle against Israel. Because that's what it says here. So this French Jew who wrote these things included all of the elements that came out of the French Revolution and that were in the French Constitution into this Bill of Human Rights, which the United Nations are using against Israel. Now I'm hoping that we can see before our own eyes these things coming together. And whether it's Macron or another leader, somebody else for instance, it doesn't matter, because what we have before us are the words of God. And as we've seen in the past, those prophecies that were foretold to Daniel so long ago, we can now look in our history books and realise that they all came about just as he said. And all of the elements and parts to them were just as he said they would be. So we can trust the future, that all of the things that God has said will happen, will happen. So I suspect that perhaps Brexit will happen at some point. Perhaps that will be to suit the timing of God more than anything else. And then the things that come with that might be more important, such as the breakup of NATO, for instance, and Europe going off in its own direction. But I hope that that's been some use to you and may encourage you to investigate the Word of God for yourself. Thank you.